Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Judy, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the New Year's retreat. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks for being with us.
Sure.
So we thought it would be fun to talk about it because, shockingly, here we are.
Yes.
Towards the New Year's retreat. One of those, you know, so much has happened and yet hard to believe here we are again.
Yeah.
But for so many folks, the New Year's retreat is really an important part of their kind of annual practice plan that many people have discovered, you know, the power of having that be the way they start their new year. But a lot of folks, I think, in Sangha probably have never done it.
Mm.
And so it's always nice this time of year to give a sense of what's unique about that retreat and what makes it so special so that people who are interested in joining us for that really have a chance to get a sense of it. So thanks for being with us to talk about your experience.
Yeah. There are so many things about the retreat that are special, but, you know, I'm especially looking forward to it for this year, and it mm-hmm. occurred to me that it's because of the Project Joy show that the whole idea of Sangha has changed for me. It's deepened and enriched my life so much, and it's so supportive that I can't wait to be there at New Year's and feel the energy of everybody in person, not just on the phone.
Yeah, you know, I just got goosebumps as you said that, Judy, because it's like, oh, family reunion.
Yeah,
Right? We get to hear each other's voices all year long, this year on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And kind of track along with each other and then to get to be together. Wow.
And it kind of blows away my whole conditioning around what friendship means and what intimacy means. I mean, I don't even look at these people. You know, I don't talk to them outside of a group, and yet there's such a sense of connection that it really supports the whole idea that we're all one, you know, and that I can bring that back into my life.
Yes. Yeah, I was looking at that, too, as we were saying that, you know, that sense of like, wow, we get to see everyone, and it could seem funny, like, I'm not going to talk to them, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to learn anything about their life in terms of, you know, so where do you work, and how old are your kids, and, you know, nothing like that, and yet there is such an intimacy. It's almost sort of, I don't know, sacred is the word that comes up.
Yeah, yeah. There's an intimacy, and for me, there's a connection. Because when everybody talks, whenever anybody talks, I can always resonate with that. And we are all the same. We are all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly so. Yeah.
And in this time, just the whole support, you know, there's so much a call to action now to be who we want the world to be, you know, and I need help for that, Jen. You know, that doesn't come right away.
Oh, you need help with that? Is that what you
said? I do.
Yeah.
It doesn't come automatically, you know, so the whole idea of everybody's out there with me, holding my hand, walking through this together with guidance.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, with guidance. And so there's the guidance of the group, you know, being with everyone, as you say. Well, the direct guidance, and then the guidance of hearing what everyone else is talking about, but also individual guidance with Sherry, which is one of the things that really does make this retreat quite a special opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I always find it so inspiring because when we're not together as a group, you know, we're walking the grounds, or I'm taking a walk or somebody, something, whenever I see somebody, they always have their earbuds in. This is, you know, here we are again. And I'm just so inspired by people who are we're just working it. You know, we're just working it.
Yep, exactly so. I love that image that, you know, on this retreat, there are beautiful places to take walks. The ground itself is not very large, but even around the neighborhood, Menlo Park, the place where the retreat center is known for its trees, and it just has some beautiful trees all around the neighborhood, and I love that experience that you're pointing at, that you might pass someone who's also on the retreat, you know, they make a show, and you just realize they're practicing. That's that's what we're all there to do. We're practicing. We're listening, we're recording,
and the schedule is so plush that we have time and no distractions. So it's such a rare opportunity to just notice what's going on and then get some, like we talked about before, get some guidance to make sense out of all that.
Yes, Yes, yeah, exactly. It's like a little laboratory, isn't it? So
uh-huh.
we go in, we look at stuff, we learn stuff, we get
yeah.
stuff. Great. Yeah. Okay, then we go out and we practice it on our own, and then we come back. Okay, here's what I saw. What do you
uh-huh.
get
uh-huh.
the next piece? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's always an introduction to me to whatever the content is, whatever the format is, not the whatever the content is for the retreat.
Right.
It's always new ideas. You know, it's always a new perspective.
Yeah.
But it's not just a good idea. I get to practice it. I get invitations of how to practice it, what to do. And then, like you said, I get the guidance when I run into a snag or something. How do I move through this hurdle or that hurdle?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
It's like we were talking about, Anna, I think it came up in a recent Project Joy, where Sherry and one of the callers were talking about, you know, it's just all these different windows in. We're always looking essentially at the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but to have a new, fresh window to look in is just so much fun because often
yeah.
it will be just a tiny little difference that
uh-huh.
adds something, just blows something open.
Right. Can blow yeah. it completely open. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's one of the huge gifts that that specifically Ashwini brings to the practice because, you know, those themes that of the retreats and the way the curriculum is put together, she just has such a gift for that. And so
mm-hmm.
they're always such an adventure and so beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's just a joy. You know, Sherry was talking on the show this morning about how lucky we are to be with a group of people who are walking this path together, especially in these times that I find challenging
yeah.
anyway. It's just nice to be kind of at home with people.
Yes, yes, exactly so. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah, because in that, you know, conscious, compassionate action that Sherry's been talking about,
yes,
we don't want to just stick our heads in the sand. We don't
mm-hmm.
want to. But that's not the same as, you know, okay, I just got to keep kind of trudging through.
Right.
We
right.
got to have those times where
mm-hmm.
we are with folks who are doing the same thing we're doing and they're
mm-hmm.
talking about, you know, what goes on for them with it. So it's really a time, literally a time to retreat
mm-hmm.
and to really get recharged and reconnected.
Yeah.
You know, you used that word connection earlier.
Yeah. yeah, and it's amazing to me how it can just be so much fun. I mean, we laugh all the time when we're there.
So
you know, it's
true.
Just, you know, it's such a heavy-duty job, you know, to make to be who I
yeah.
want the world to be, and yet
yeah.
I'm laughing all the time when I'm there. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, we'll talk about gifts. That is one of the great gifts that you ever bring to practice in particular,
mm-hmm.
that lightness, that humor. It's that place of, you know, there's one sense, it's life and death. It truly is
mm-hmm.
what we're doing.
Right.
It is life and death. And yet
right.
there's such a lightness to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not grim and serious the way ego would want it to be.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I love, there's something very magical about ending the year and starting the year with the group in meditation. It's like saying to conditioning, forget it. You're not getting in here at all. This is how I'm starting
yeah.
my year. This is how I'm going to live. Just don't even try, you know.
I love that, Judy. You know what I just saw when you said that was, and of course, that's not going to stop it from trying, and it's
right.
not going to stop from attempting to torture me all year, but that's such a touchstone, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Because I've made the decision to
yep.
end my year in the way that I want the next year to be, which is
mm-hmm.
a tradition in Buddhism, that
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm going to end the year in the way that, in the how of, how I want my next year to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made the decision to do that. So it can squirm and say everything it's going
right.
to say, but I made the decision
uh-huh.
to do that. So that's
uh-huh.
a huge statement of who I am and what's important to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a commitment that carries me through the whole year. Yeah, I just,
yeah.
I love, and when
yeah.
I get, you know, I can just go back to that. No, this is what I decided. This is the
yep.
next step. This, I'll do this now.
Yep. Remember, I was at that retreat, and I meditated into the year. So that's how this year
uh-huh.
is today.
That's a conditioning. I'm here. Forget it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
the other piece of it is we're talking that I just so love about that retreat is that we get to have yoga.
Uh-huh.
That's such a lovely integration of, you know, mind and body are one, and
yes.
we're attending to all of what we're looking
mm-hmm.
at and
mm-hmm.
what we're seeing, and
mm-hmm.
we're also really attending to the body, and that there's, again, when you said the how spacious the retreat is, that to me is another gift, is there's really quite a bit of time that we get to be quiet and spend with the body in that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the body's fed well, too, with the food there.
Yes.
That's delicious, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really taking
Indeed.
Care of our bodies. And that's, you know, that's another that's another thing I like so much about it, is just reminding me of how to take care of the body well. You know, just it's easy to forget that, but it's another, like you said, a touchstone of, oh, yeah, this is who I am. This is who I am. This is who we are.
Yeah. And so, you know, what I just saw when you said that was, so in the same way we were sort of saying earlier, you know, we go into group and we talk about things and we'll go out and practice and we see what we see. That's sort of the way retreat is in general. It's a larger version of that. So we come on retreat and we're reminded, we're training really,
mm-hmm.
how we want to be with the body, how we want
yes.
to be in our lives, you know,
yes.
how we want to train the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go out into our lives and we live our lives and, you know, we be how we want to be to the best of our ability. And we see what we see. We report back in every morning, Project Joy, and then we come back together.
I know. We're so lucky. Yeah. And especially when nothing's wrong, you know, on top of that. And we can't make mistakes. I mean, why not give it a shot, you know?
Exactly. So true. So true.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the last thing that reminds me about the retreat is that it's one of the larger retreats, I think actually probably the largest retreat all year, and that's why we hold it at a retreat center. It is in Northern California, you know, just like we are, but we can't accommodate that many folks, and certainly not that comfortably in the wintertime as we're able to at the retreat center in Menlo Park, where, you know, it's warm inside and everyone's able to have their own bathroom, and so those sorts of things are really, you know, make it a really easy environment to be in as well.
And the energy is like electric almost, you know, just to be in a group that size with those people, with all of us who are so like-minded.
Exactly. So I can, as we're talking, Judy, I can just feel the being in that meditation hall.
Me too. It's really lovely.
All right, good. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Anything else you wanted to add before we end?
No, just to say how lucky I think we all are. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I hope we need everybody there. You know, we just need all of us.
We really do. Yep. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Judy.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Jen.
Okay. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Judy. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Can we go?
Can we go
to the retreat now? Can we go now?
Yes.
I'll tell you, I was laughing out loud when Judy said, yeah, and there's nothing wrong. We can't make mistakes. Why not give it a shot? I mean, there it is. Really?
Yes.
Come on. There's nothing wrong. Yes. We can't make mistakes. Why? Let's give this waking up and ending suffering a shot. Why not? What do we have to lose but suffering? Good.
Yes. I think she just cleared away the two main obstacles there with that statement.
Right.
Yes.
Very clear.
Yes. Fine. Yeah, I could picture the meditation hall also as they were talking.
Go ahead.
I could picture the meditation hall just like
walking from our rooms and down to the meditation hall and into the And the thing that I wanted to add to it, to their conversation, is it's a perfect retreat for people who are new to our practice. Or, you know, you and I know, we get people with some regularity who say, you know, I've been listening to this for 2 years or 5 years or 8 years. I've never called in, you know. And so those people who are familiar with practice to whatever degree but think, oh, but I can't go on retreat. Yeah, you can. And this is a perfect one to do that with because, as Dana Judy we're noting, coming to the monastery at that time of year is not going to be the physically comfortable experience that being at Vallombrosa Center is. And so when you have that, you know, take that off, okay? Plenty of good food to eat. You can be warm. You can have your own bathroom, you know, all of those things. And then it is just a wonderful gathering of people. So anybody who's thinking, could I ever? Yeah. This would be the one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, and it's a beautiful place and a beautiful schedule and very spacious and great food and yoga and guidance with you.
Yep.
It's a winning combination.
It really is. And, of course, our other retreats in North Carolina and in Pennsylvania, they have much of that same, you know, physical comfort and that sort of thing that helps a person who's new to practice get to that place of, okay, I think I could face the monastery now because I've got all this stuff, you know, figured out. And so now I'm ready to try the monastery. So it's a good way to get started with us.
Yes. And it just dropped in as you were talking that, to me, one of the joys of being together in person is that we get to embody the privileged environment in a way that's different than we do on Open Air and Project Joy, but to just really physically embody that and, you know, transcend that paradox of being so intimate and yet impersonal at the same time. And so it's really, I love that.
And they were kind of indicating this, too, in a way, or Judy was pointing to it, with this conscious, compassionate action. It's a wonderful connection there because we're learning to be with people and not let conditioned mind take us into places that it likes to take us. Let's find out enough information about somebody to find out why we don't like them, right? We just don't do that. We just learn to see people's hearts, see the very best of people, the goodness of people, and respond from there. And if we, as we get comfortable with the privileged environment, we realize we can live pretty much all of our lives in a privileged environment attitude toward folks.
Yes. Yes, exactly so. Yes, that's my experience.
Yeah.
And I have announcements here, unless you'd like to start us in another direction.
No, that's good. I've said my piece.
Okay. Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and deepen support for awareness practice. These weekends include a practice activity and guidance with you, Sherry, or Ashwini. A practice weekend is coming up November 17th through 19th.
It is, and they're fun.
Yes, yes, they are.
Which, at my previous program, those are a wonderful way for somebody who hasn't been to the monastery to have an experience of being at the monastery. You know, Friday night through Sunday lunch, and, you get a whole feel for what it's like to practice in that environment.
Yes, yes, exactly. A new group coaching class will explore using recording and listening to support healthy eating. Participants will practice recording when creating a menu, before preparing meals, and before eating to receive the mentor's guidance and support. This four-week class begins November 25th.
Oh, perfect timing. My goodness. Right through the most disastrous time for people to try to stay conscious about food.
Yes, and speaking of perfect timing, Sherry, about the same time, there's a new Socratic email class starting November 28th.
That's right.
Yes, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And as Judy and Jen were talking about, start the next year with a community of people gathered to practice conscious, compassionate awareness at the New Year's retreat. That's December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California. The retreat features meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to speak with Sherry today, you can make guest show to indicate your desire by pressing *6 and then 1. And a 5-minute conversation, about 5 minutes in length, is great. Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. You ready, Sherry?
All right, here we go.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Yes,
Jeff.
How are you?
I'm really well.
Good.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking as the conversation was on, you know, about the New Year's retreat, and then you and Michael were talking, that I had a conversation with you back in March, in which I realized that there had been a conversation, an assumption in my head that I was going to come to the New Year's retreat this year, and that, you know, being going to the monastery would be just, you know, out of the question financially. But I had not looked at it consciously. It had been just a thing that had gone through, you know, and had never been questioned.
Yes.
And so,
well, of course, I couldn't do that, right? Because if I do that, I can't do that. And it, yeah, right. We don't even have to think about it. It's just obvious.
Yes, right. It's so obvious. It's just not true. We had that conversation in March, and I looked at it with my coach, and I, you know, started examining it, you know, both in terms of finances and looking at flights and looked at it for myself. And there was one of the things I found when I talked about it with my coach was there was so much excitement about the idea of going to the monastery this summer, and actually doing one other thing that also, and coming to the New Year's retreat, doing all three. The idea of doing all three of those things was just like, even though the idea had been that it wasn't possible. I mean, when I talked about it, I would just get so excited, and my coach could hear it, you know, and I could hear it. I mean, anyway, uh-huh. It was just so amazing, and just the idea that that would be possible. And it turned out that I did go do those, go to the monastery, do that other thing, and had transformative experiences. I mean, they were both just amazing, and looking forward to New Year's.
You know, that is truly wonderful. And what, I don't know if this is so, but what dropped in when you were saying that is most of us have a lifetime conditioning of no. No, no, you can't do that. No, you can't have that. No, that, now, if it's something, you know, that's not good for you or whatever, then sure, you can have that. But that you could want to do these things that are actually good for you. There's nothing harmful about them, quite the opposite. But no, no. That's too much time. It's too much money. You can't afford that. That's not, and when that yes happens, it's like, oh my God, I'm really alive. You know, and we move into that place of, this really is my life. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can, actually. I can have all those things. And what else might I have?
I know. That's where I was going to. It's like, oh, my gosh, what no's am I listening to now and believing?
Uh-huh.
You
yes.
know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And not questioning.
Not questioning in the same way that you said. It just goes through. It's just assumed. That's the deadly, I was just writing about that. That's the deadly aspect of beliefs and assumptions. You know, it's just we don't notice it. It's just, well, of course you can't do that, Jeff. Don't be ridiculous. And it's not, nobody says that. If you heard a voice in your head say that, you'd go, what are you talking about? Right? It's just assumed. It's just understood. So
yeah.
Then when that turns around, then all that life force that has gone into depressing you, basically, with all of these no's, no, you can't, no. All that life force is released, and it's just thrilling.
Wow. Yeah. It just, a couple things. One is, while we were talking, my eyes just fell on this quote I have up on my wall that says, all things are possible until they are proved impossible, and even the impossible may only be so as of now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and isn't there proof of that? I mean, look around our world at the things. In fact, our world is changing so fast at this point that something that was revolutionary 2 years ago is now defunct, right? So, I mean, it was impossible. You can't. Oh, we're doing that. Yeah, that's happening now. So, absolutely true, isn't it? I mean, it is our life experience.
Wow. It's good to hear you say that, because even though I have it up on my wall, there's like, well, am I really just wishful thinking there and, you know, all that sort of thing?
No. Physical reality proves the truth of that to us.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And your experience proves that to you. Right? Because you were hearing, no, that's not. And then it went from impossible to, sure, yes, I can. Oh, I'm going to.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because one of the things I find myself doing, I think there's on the other side, there can be kind of all these things that I would like to have happen. But I wonder where that's coming from, you know, because they don't, you know, and I put them on a list of goals or intentions. But I've wondered, you know, sometimes whether I get set up by ego in what goes on those lists. You know, they're pretty far out there and pretty big. But you know, I don't really know. It's just an interesting place to watch, you know.
Yeah. And in the way that you said, to watch, it is, so for me, it's, there are these things that I would do if I had a transporter room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would do a lot of things if I had a transporter room that I'm not going to do if I have to get on an airplane, okay, because I've done way too much of that, and it's not that much fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
So would I like to do those things? Yeah, sure. There are lots of things I'd like to do. Enough to do them? No. So what is it that I actually want to do? In the same way that you experience with the, I want to do these three activities. You know, mm-hmm. What are those things on your list? And then to get a sense of what stops you from those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you had all the money in the world and all the time in the world and all the whatever, you know, the list of things that you would do would probably be very, very long. But what does your heart really want to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that, yeah. And kind of, you know, that looking there to see what the heart wants to do, not just what ego wants to do.
Yes. Yes.
And.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun little adventure.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the place of discernment. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
You're
Take
welcome.
Take care, huh?
Mm-hmm. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Very fun conversation, Sherry, and fun to see that the voices are wrong and they're lying.
Yes. They're wrong and they're lying. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. It just dropped in again as we were talking that process that Jeff is looking at can be sort of a process of muscle testing. You know, when when you walk up to a big buffet of food and you just kind of walk along and watch what your body responds to, not your head, but your body says, yes. Or you look at a menu, you know, in a restaurant. And so in that same way, to sort of muscle test these things and just see what the energy responds to and what is just a conversation in the head. That could be a fun part of it too.
Yes, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris in Seattle.
Oh, hello, Chris.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I think I spent a year including with conditioning. I think I want to not do that anymore.
You think a year is enough for right now?
You gave it
a shot, and now you're going to try something different. That's good, huh?
Yes.
And you know, Chris, yes. I'm saying it that way, not just for no reason, right? Because that is the way we need to approach it. Okay, I did that. Now I'm not doing that. Now we don't need to talk about it.
Right, and there was a Peace Corps just a day or two ago of you talking, and it said something about not having regrets, and that, you know, that is in the past, that's over, that's done, and now here I am.
Yep, here I am. Yep, and that's all we need to know about it, huh? So what now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and what now was to call the show. It's funny, I have an alarm on my phone that goes off at 4:30, and it's been going off at 4:30 for the last year. And
good for you, Chris. But, I mean, right there. That's a heck of a statement, because you could have turned that thing off, right? And I bet the voices would have loved it if you had turned that thing off, but you didn't.
No, it was there, and it was. It was making itself available, but I did not avail myself of that.
Yep.
I recorded this morning, which I hadn't done quite a while, and that was one thing I wanted to do today was to call the show. But so I did, and that was sort of, well, I guess step one was this morning I'm recording, and step two is calling this, and step three, four.
Get back up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting up to speed.
And I remember, too, a conversation we had some time ago where I was feeling like I was totally underwater, and you pointed out that it's more like you're floating, but you're floating face down, and all you really got to do is flip over. It's not like you're 60 feet underwater.
Uh-huh.
And I remembered that.
Well, that's a good image. Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I knew something was up.
Over.
Mm-hmm. I flipped over, and I missed the deadline this time around for the current quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies, because I had been doing that all year. But I almost never forget that. So that I knew when that didn't happen, I was like, uh-oh. Now it's
now
taken away.
Now you're stuck with
us,
Chris.
Yes, uh-huh. Pretty much.
We're your punishment.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I don't know if you have been around when talking about this, but the whole notion of undulation. And I really hope people will take it to heart. And what it simply means is what happens to everybody is what happened to you. You know, we're going along, and then it's like we just step in a hole, and there we are, right? And so if you look at it, it's kind of like a roller coaster is probably too extreme. It's kind of one of those highways that just kind of undulates along. You know, it just, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. And that's how life is. So people, and with everything, people will be really present and focused. They're eating really well. They're exercising. They're, you know, whatever it is. And then they're not. And come to some point later on with the question, what happened? You know, where, and of course, for most people, it involves a beating, right? Because you should have and you didn't and all those regrets and recriminations. But in practice, what we learn to do is just go, huh, well, now that was interesting. You know, I'm going to watch for that. I'm going to see how that happens. And over time, with practice, we realize what sets off the downward trend. How do we go unconscious and forget ourselves and forget to practice? How do we come back up out of that and get back to a place where, okay, my eyes are clear, I'm seeing what's going on, going along, and then down again? And to realize it's universal, but it's not terminal.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, and you know what just occurred to me? What just mm-hmm. occurred to me is that, that's funny, that's the theme of the Socratic email class that's coming up the end of November, is undulations, just starting to bring or attempting to bring more conscious awareness to how that happens to us with every aspect of our lives. I'm excited about it. I don't care about it at all. You know, I'm really energized. I'm enthusiastic. I'm here. I'm whatever. No, I don't care about that. In fact, I forgot all about it.
Yeah, I can recognize that process in my own life where I get excited about, let's say, whatever, something, and then mm-hmm. the excitement lasts a certain amount of time, and then eventually, whatever the amount of time is, there's a point where I'm on the other side and going, yeah, whatever.
Right,
instead
exactly.
of, like, I'm still excited about this new thing.
Yeah. And yes. And some things, of course, in our lives, fortunately, we come back to enthusiasm for or an excitement for, you know,
mm-hmm.
relationships that we have or a job or whatever it is, hobbies, or and we cycle. And, of course, with all of those things, it's undulations, that's not a problem. With conscious awareness, it is a problem. If we go unconscious for extended periods of time, that actually is a problem for us in the sense that there can be so much suffering in those times that is, you know, unnecessary.
Right. Certainly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, it's great to hear your voice, Chris.
It's
glad
great to
back.
Hear yours, Sherry. Thank you.
I'll
be in touch.
Okay, good. All right. Talk to
right.
you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Sherry. Bye, Michael.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Chris. And Sherry, I've enjoyed our recent discussions about undulation and that they happen and it's impersonal and there's nothing wrong. And, you know, with everything, just to bring awareness to the process so that I can retain a broader perspective on what's going on.
Yes, because the importance of that, of course, for us is, so maybe I want to, oh, food is such an easy one to look at, right? So I want to eat a healthy diet, and I'm really excited about it. I'm thrilled about vegetables. I'm really excited about it, and I can see the importance of it. You know, I need to take care of my physical being, and then the excitement wanes. The enthusiasm is gone. And what conditioning wants me to do is go to the cheeseburgers, French fries, and beer, right? And I don't have to be excited and enthusiastic about my commitments. I just have to keep them. And that, to me, is the heart and soul of awareness practice. Doesn't matter how I feel. There are certain things that I show up for whether I'm thrilled or not.
And I just saw as you said that it really sends the message to conditioning. Well, and to me, when I keep those commitments regardless of how I feel.
Yes, yes. It's mastery. It really is a good definition
yep.
of self-mastery, right? Because
yes.
this is what I'm committed to. This is what I do. It's no longer open to discussion. I'm not going to change my mind, so don't even bother talking to me about it. This is who I am. This is what I do. And once we make that movement, once we make that choice for ourselves and know that we can, oh, my gosh, the suffering that falls away. And so we can do that, and maybe this is part of what will come out in the email class. It's Socratic, so, you know, hopefully a lot of people will bring this to it. But, you know, we don't have to. I've been in debt all my life, right? I have credit card debt up to my eyebrows, and, you know, I don't need to handle that in terms of undulations, right? Because that process of undulation happens everywhere. So I can do it with the simplest little commitment to this that I am not going to waver from. It doesn't matter what the voices of ego say. Once I learn that process, then I can apply it to larger and larger and larger content in my life until eventually, no, I don't go on spending sprees. I just don't do that because I've made a commitment and I know how to keep a commitment.
Yes. Yes. Fascinating. It's all fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And doable.
And doable.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Well, very good.
All righty.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, and hi, Michael. This is Carol from Port Townsend.
Well, hello there.
Hi. I'm surprised to get on the air, and here we are.
Here we are. We never know, do we?
No, we never know. And I've been keeping my commitment to be in the queue for quite a while here, and so I'm happy to be on now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Project Joy exercises that was really meaningful to me was the know nothing, do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I just did that for days and days because, knowing nothing, it's like I didn't have to know anything about anything. I didn't have to have a role. I didn't have to keep up a facade. I didn't have to be any certain person or anything. So it's just kind of like, oh, okay, I could just relax right into the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It was the same with the do-nothing, you know. So it's just divinely
you could just be.
Just
you could
be.
Just be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're required to lie on the couch. It doesn't mean that at all. Right? It just means conditioned mind isn't in charge of your life for a period of time, which is terribly refreshing and relaxing.
It is, yeah. I've been thinking about...
wonderfully, I guess we'd say.
Well, for
not
years...
terribly.
Go ahead. Somebody asked me what I want for my birthday, and I said, peace in my heart. This was about 3 or 4 years ago, and I still... So I've been thinking about that, you know, what is peace? And it's just kind of the absence of conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a good definition, huh?
Yeah, the absence of listening to conditioning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's what you're choosing for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what you're giving yourself for your birthday. And a birthday gift doesn't have to just happen on one day, does it?
No,
you
no.
You have a birthday gift every day.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about practice for me. And I signed up for the New Year's retreat, so that's good.
Well, that is very good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that's going on for me is I'm going away for 5 weeks. I'm going to be over in Asia, and I'm trying to figure out how to, continue to practice and stay in touch with Sangha and practice and all that. So I'm kind of thinking about that now because here I listen to Project Joy and Open Air every day and coaching and, yeah.
Apparently it's possible because we have people all over the world and we hear from people all over the world. So it is possible.
Yeah. I was just remembering that, right? People are calling in from other places, yeah. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, people call in from China.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it seems like being in a new environment, I found that when I travel just, you know, to visit friends or something, that being in a new environment can kind of be challenging for my practice.
Yes, so, well, yes, absolutely. And that... that's such a good point. That exactly the times when we actually want to be most dialed into practice are the times that conditioning talks us into not being.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And that's how people wind up with the regrets that we were talking about earlier. Right? Because we get talked into things that support conditioning and don't support us. And then, of course, when the trip is over, we get a long list of everything we did wrong and the mistakes we made and how we should have and we didn't. And instead of having a glorious time during the trip and after the trip, it turns into recriminations that, take the joy out of it for us.
Right. The things that I'm thinking that are really important are gratitude recordings and also talking to the mentor.
Yeah.
Those seem to be.
And just to see what's involved. You know, do you really need to be off by yourself or can you take some of Sangha with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we know how hard it is to stay conscious, right? We know that. And we know how difficult it is to stay present during transitions. And, of course, a trip is nothing but transitions, or life is nothing but transitions. But it's really transitions when we're in foreign countries and everything is different. We're in a different time zone. The food is all different. Everything looks different, smells different, tastes different. Mm-hmm. And so it's very easy for conditioning to slip in and, have more influence than it needs to have.
Right, yeah, easy to make excuses, well, this is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course,
in fact, I just talked to somebody, as a matter of fact, who did that, who was able to go on an all-expenses-paid trip to one of those places where everything is free.
Yeah.
And she just came back sick because everything was free. And so the voices just said, you know, we'll have that. So she had, you know, she never eats chocolate. She loves chocolate. And so she had chocolate desserts at every meal. And, you know, instead of it, instead of having fun, instead of really enjoying herself, she went completely unconscious. And, you know, just it, the whole thing was used against her. So, you know, it's an ugly traveling companion. We want to support ourselves, not to fall in its clutches.
Right, right. Yeah.
Mhm. You'll do that, I'm sure.
I will, yes. Okay, well, thank you very much, Sherry and Michael.
Well, you're very welcome. Have a wonderful
time. You're
welcome. And we'll see you in for New Year's,
mm-hmm.
if
New
you
Year's,
don't
yeah.
see you before.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank
Bye
you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. And Sherry, it sounds like we need a traveling companion other than conditioning.
Yes.
So this is
yes. Well, it sounds like she's taking the mentor. So that's
yes.
very good.
Yes. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hey, Sherry and Michael. It's Jen in Rhinebeck.
Hello, Jen.
Hello. Well, that was great, that last call, because I think what I'm looking at is needing to reconnect with the mentor a little bit. I've got some content going on that feels really juicy, and am noticing that, I guess, like the you know, I've sort of been like, the mentor has been here, but they've kind of been in the other room, you know? Like,
uh-huh.
They're kind of close by.
A little distance in your
yeah.
relationship.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it feels like that can sometimes happen when things are just kind of going along and there's not really any big issues.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You know,
everything's
yeah.
fine. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No problem.
I don't really need to. Yeah, this is for Carol, too, right? It's that same kind
yeah.
of, right? It's all fine. I don't need to be scrutinizing everything, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
You know, we're fine.
Yeah.
And then we have juicy content.
Yeah. And suddenly it's like, wait a minute, where's that mentor? You know, and I realize mm-hmm. even though I've been going, you know, through the motions of recording and listening, it's like I think I've talked about this a couple times this year, and maybe it's part of that undulation conversation too. It's like there's just, can still be doing some of the things, and, you know, there's still a distance in it. And then other times
yeah.
it's real, you know, like there's real
yes.
presence and connection.
Well, and it's back to what we were talking about with Jeff. Right? That's one of the trickiest parts of practice is to tell the difference. When am I just
yeah.
going through the motions and I'm actually identified with ego and not really
yeah.
noticing because I'm getting told that I'm present, and then I come to and realize, actually, I wasn't present. And
yeah.
that's not a problem because we get to see it. But it is
mm-hmm.
something that it's really good to be aware of.
Yeah. 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 Would it be okay if I gave you a little bit of content?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's about my parents' relationship, which has never been great and been deteriorating rapidly in the last few years. And my brother lives with them, and I got some information from my brother via text yesterday that my parents' relationship has turned physically violent.
Mm.
And it's,
how old are these people?
I know. They're in their early 70s, and they've been married for, like, almost 50 years, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
they need to not be married, and I've been, you know, quite a number of years ago, at least 5 years ago, I had said to them, I'm like, you don't actually need to stay married for my sake anymore if that was
right.
ever part of the reason.
We children will be okay.
Yes, I think it might be wise if you separated. And instead, they, you know, they just haven't, and it's gotten really mean. They're very mean to each other, which is really kind of difficult to watch, and you know, that vitriol is starting to come in my direction from my mother, at least. I don't see them very often, and I don't have an extremely close relationship with them, but yeah, it's just, I feel, you know, I felt really physically sick since my brother told me this, and just in this space of like, gosh, what do I do? Like, you know, like, and seeing the kind of trap in that, like, you know, like,
yeah,
that I need
to
do something about this. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
I need to solve this problem.
They haven't exactly been seeking your guidance throughout your life, right? And yet that's when it comes to, oh, what do I do? Now it's up to me to, do you ever get the sense that it's one of those, when one of them dies, the other is going to die shortly thereafter because this is their relationship?
Yeah.
I mean, we could look at it
and
say, well, that's awful. I mean, certainly they would be happier apart, but not necessarily.
Yeah, it's very funny. Years ago, I had booked a massage at the wellness center where I worked, and somehow there had been all this miscommunication, and they didn't book me for a massage. They booked me for a psychic reading, and I didn't really want it, but I was like, I was late because we had also gotten the time. We had different times written down, so I thought, okay, let me just do this because it's already been paid for, and you know, she did this reading, and she didn't know my family from Adam, and, you know, said these things about my family that made so much sense, including that my parents, their soul contract, if we have such thing, was simply to show me how to not do it.
Ooh.
How to not do life.
Wow.
And so they agreed to come here this time around as an example of, you know, so I've often thought of that, you know, as I watched, have watched things deteriorate and just wanting to take it as a, yeah, okay, I don't want to do it that way, but they're also in such a state of suffering, it seems. I can't imagine they're not, you know.
Yeah, well, we can't.
Yeah.
We can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are so many, and maybe they are, but there are so many things in life. You know, if you watch somebody drinking themselves to death, you think, well, certainly an intervention. Or, you know, somebody smoking cigarettes and coughing so bad they can hardly, and you think, you know, somebody stop them. They need to be stopped from that. But they don't want to be stopped from that. And
the place that
I go with it is we don't want to be stopped from our stuff either.
Yeah.
Now we could, you know, we look at our stuff and it doesn't seem that harmful, you know.
I mean,
if we can, compare my stuff to people being physically violent with one another, but that's tricky because stuff is stuff, right? And harmful is harmful. It's not. I think it's not actually true that it's on a scale somewhere, you know, and if we're down, it's 1 to 100, you know, they're up in the 90s, you know, I mean, we're down here in the, you know, the low teens, so we're fine. And of course that's a, you know, that's a projection and a judgment, and we actually don't know.
Yeah, that's sort of what that psychic reading did for me. It was just like, oh, yeah, I don't know. It allows me to go into that space of, like, I actually don't know what's really going on here in the bigger scheme of things. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I don't want either one of them to be hurting, and that's not actually my choice.
That's right.
Really hard
because,
to, you know,
because
get your head
don't
around.
Don't you know a ton of people that if they would just listen to you, you could sort them out in a way that would end their hurting.
I'd say it's everything.
And yeah, exactly. And nobody's interested in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that we don't want to hurt. It's not that we don't want to suffer. But just about everybody wants to do it in their own way, in their own time, on their own terms.
Yeah. There's just such a, this conditioned belief that I can't just sit here and watch this train derail. Like, I have to do something about this.
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah. And one of the things, of course, you could do is not watch it.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have to go home for Thanksgiving, you're saying? Yeah.
Something to consider, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I know. Yes, it's definitely on the radar at this point. It might be the time to say no to that for the first time, you know? Yeah. And that what we're saying at the beginning, too, is that recognition that since this has been happening for the last day or so, it's like I've been frozen. I've been actually unable to record. Like, there's just this when I've picked up the recorder, and it's like there's so much that comes up, like, from my early childhood on.
That's job one, right? That's the two-handed. That's the two-handed. So let her get unfrozen, and and then be open to some wisdom and clarity from wisdom and clarity.
Yeah, and just deep gratitude for practice, because, you know, again, not wanting to project, but I feel like I would be in there, not in a very different position from them without this practice.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
Yes. And that's really good to keep in mind. You know, that we it takes a lot for us to stay committed to presence committed to waking up and ending suffering. And on some level, we really want to.
Yeah.
Picture it for people who actually have no interest in it.
Yeah. Or don't even know it's possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, which is the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you cannot, I mean, people we know don't live on this planet and not ever encounter a possibility other than their karma.
Yeah.
So, are we in a place to go, which is what happened to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's familiar. I've heard that 1,000 times before. This can't be quite accurate. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, let us know.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jen. Sherry, it really struck me that each of us has our own path and our own karma, and it seems that I would be wise to focus on the content where I have some influence, perhaps. Control is not the right word, but my own practice and saving the only person that I have the opportunity to save.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And most people, I've been an orphan for so long that those issues are, it's funny at my age to say an orphan, so that was a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's true that not having those kinds of family relationships for decades, it is fascinating to me how we are conditioned to say, people who have had their own lives for decades will talk about going home, meaning go back to the family of origin. And just that language is such a setup, because if you stop and look at it, that's not my home. That hasn't been my home for forever. So if I were really going to go home for the holidays, and it's interesting Jen brings this up now, because, of course, we are coming into the holiday season, which is just big for just about everybody. There's so much karma in place about
family and those original relationships. If we were really going to come home, we'd be looking to our own hearts, not to people somewhere in another physical location with whom we probably have very, very little in common.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
There are lots of people who have relationships with family members that they really enjoy, really like and enjoy and have fun with, and that's one thing. But I talk to so many people who are actually hitting old age and still in relationships, fraught relationships with family that they suffer and struggle with. And I, of course, I'm always making an argument for, could we look at that? Could we look at that? You know, if you were conditioned when you were growing up to live on bacon and butter and fried potatoes, would you look at that as you grew into adulthood and as your awareness expanded and that sort of thing? Of course we would. And we would know that we have a big karmic pull to those things because they were there when we were very, very young. But we want to question the kind of relationship that we have with these things now, rather than all of these places in people's lives where awareness practice just doesn't apply. And I think it's just really important for us to look closely at that. That's all I'm suggesting, is to look closely at it rather than just assuming that's how it is and that's how it needs to be.
Yes, and I've heard you talk before also about, you know, for many of us, close friends feel much closer to us than family members.
Yes.
For
yes.
just the reasons
yes.
that we've been talking about tonight.
Yeah. People talk about family of choice rather than family of origin. And so just to explore that, the idea of shoulds and obligation and duty and suffering. And can we, if we choose to be in those relationships, can we be in them without suffering? And, of course, conditioning wants us, you know, to keep everything exactly the same, which usually equals continue to suffer. So can we have a different approach? Yes, I choose to be in relationship with these folks, and I'm going to bring a lot of conscious awareness to having these relationships be different.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I've heard you talk with people about, you know, going, quote, home, unquote, for the holidays and, you know, setting aside time for meditation and setting mm-hmm. aside time for walking around the block. And mm-hmm. now I need to go do this and then I'll be back.
Take that mentor. And and just let people know these are the things that I do to take care of myself, and
yes.
and then do those things and take care of yourself and approach it as if it's a retreat, a workshop or a retreat, bringing all the conscious compassion and awareness to it that it's possible to bring. Now, see here, this can be one great place for our conscious compassionate action movement, right? getting together with relatives. Just end it there. It doesn't have to be over the holidays.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Sherry, we've come to the end of another great show.
Well, good. I'm so glad. And so
yes.
we shall say adieu. And
yes.
if all goes well, we'll do this again next week.
I'll look forward to it.
Me too, Michael. Thank you very much. Thanks everybody.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.